Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gileadi and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gileadi and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gileadi here with my friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Stephen. Great.
Good to be back with you.
Oh, it's great. Hope you're having a great Labor Day weekend holiday.
Yeah.
But it's good to be here on Sunday night, and it's always good to study the Word, whether it's holiday weekend or not.
Yes.
And we've been doing some very difficult shows the last however many weeks it's been. Three weeks.
Yeah.
And they're difficult to do because nobody likes to hear about condemnation and judgment and desolation and defilement and exile.
They don't?
No. They don't. They're not like happy things. Like, you know, people said, like, can't you tell us something happy? No. Why do you want to talk about this depressing stuff?
I think the prophets encountered that too.
They did.
Yes.
And we used
the whole point of this.
Yeah. We used three of them as examples, and we used the example of Amos in the northern kingdom, and the priest and the king said, man, you need to loosen up, get out of here. Everything's cool. You're just a killjoy. You're a party pooper.
What are you worried about?
What are you worried about? Everything's good. And then he said, okay, and destruction came.
Mm-hmm.
And then we used Jeremiah, similar story. And
right.
The priests and the kings, you know, the priests said to him, listen, we've got the temple here, we've got priests here, we got the king here, we got all this cool stuff, and you're a party pooper, and yeah, we don't want to hear what you have to say. Can't you tell us something happy? And then the Babylonians came.
Right.
And then last week we talked about the prophet Ezekiel, who was in kind of the first wave of exiles that went into Babylon before Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed. And God showed him all kind of abominations and idolatry and just bad things that were going on in the temple. And we know then that the Babylonians came and not only destroyed the temple, but destroyed the whole city.
Exactly.
And these were judgments, and it came from the book of Deuteronomy, which is the fifth book of Moses, in chapter 29. It talks about how when the covenant is violated, there'll be consequences. I'm paraphrasing, of course. This is not in the original Hebrew.
Yeah.
There'll be consequences. When worse things happen, there'll be worse consequences, and then when horrible things happen, the land will be desolate and the people will be exiled.
Yeah.
So the northern kingdom was exiled, the southern kingdom was exiled, and today we're going to talk about what Jesus has to say about some of this stuff, and next week we'll finish that up, and then I'm sure you all know that in the year 70 AD, the temple was destroyed for the second time.
Exactly. Yeah, I think most times what we see happening is that there's warning signs.
Mm-hmm.
There's things that happen and they're not heeded.
Mm-hmm.
They're not recognized and the people continue on in their way.
Mm-hmm.
And because God is merciful, there's a correction that is offered. There's, mm-hmm, you know, there's this time of grace where God gives us the means to turn back to Him with our whole heart, because, mm-hmm, we have to love God from our heart, from our own heart.
Mm-hmm.
We're not a puppet.
Right.
He doesn't make us love Him.
Right.
And it's like any other relationship that we're in, we have to love from our own, mm-hmm, heart. And you see it over and over again that there's things that are happening. There's signs that something has happened, but the people don't take notice, and then they continue on in their way, and then the worst punishment happens, and then the destruction happens.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's it's just how it goes.
Yes. And this is going to it happened twice, and as you know, Stephen pointed out last week and the week before, God was not only bringing judgment against his own people, the covenant people, but destroyed his own temple, his own house, you know, the place where his glory was dwelling, the holiest place on earth, which is the Temple Mount, because God says, this is where I've put my name, this is where I'm going to put my glory. The temple was destroyed as part of these judgments that came when the people did not heed his word.
Yeah.
And the ultimate thing that's going to happen is the rejection of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to probably, we probably won't get that to that today, but it'll probably be next week because the time goes really fast around here.
Knowing us, we probably won't.
I think these clocks around here move faster than normal clocks because next thing you know, the show's over. And, it's kind of like the ultimate thing. You know, there was exile, and then there was the Babylonian exile, which lasted 70 years, and God made up for the Sabbaths that weren't observed and put the people back in the land, and the temple was rebuilt by the people that went back, Nehemiah, Ezra, Zerubbabel, and this was the temple that Jesus knew.
Mm-hmm.
And then Herod enlarged it, and some people call it Herod's temple, but I don't call it that. But anyway, so this was the temple Jesus knew, but then the ultimate problem happens, which is the rejection of Jesus, the rejection of Yeshua, the Messiah.
Right.
And so then a horrendous judgment takes place. Not only is the city destroyed, the temple is destroyed, the people are put into diaspora all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're in exile for 1900 and some years,
yeah,
until 1948 when they can go back to the land.
Right.
I mean, that's mind-boggling what happens. And God's holy place, after the temple was destroyed, the Romans plowed the Temple Mount, just left it like that until the Muslims came and built the mosques. And they totally took every sign, every marker, every holy thing that was there out, and they made a totally pagan city.
Yeah.
And that lasted that way for till the Roman Empire fell. And anyway, to make a long story short, because the Messiah was rejected, all these things happened.
Right.
But again, it didn't come without warning.
Yeah, it did not come without warning. And Jesus, you know, if you look through the gospel writings, and the words that Jesus spoke, you know, he spoke in parables, but he gave many, many warnings to the religious leaders of his day.
Yeah, we're going to go over some of them here in a minute.
And over again, he would, you know, talk to them about what they were doing, how they were or were not keeping the law, how they were placing extra burdens upon the people, how they were setting themselves up in a place of prominence. And you know, even in the Old Testament, God says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Your sacrifices are detestable to me.
Yeah.
And if you, you know, if you look at the readings and the teachings of Jesus, it is about mercy. It is about forgiveness. It is about reconciliation and redemption. But when he's saying that, you know, you cannot put new wine into an old wineskin, you couldn't put this new, and it really wasn't a new teaching, but you couldn't put this new wine into an old wineskin, meaning the person wasn't going to receive this. They had to be reborn. Reborn again by the Spirit to receive this.
That's right. That's right. And we've done some shows about that, you know, how the Holy Spirit comes and transforms our friend Peter and his little friends, and how then they were totally different because although they heard Jesus teach for 3 years, you know, they kind of thought, well, this is kind of nice. And once in a while, they got some great revelation and they said, wow, this is really awesome. But for the most part, they didn't really understand what was going on.
Right.
Until Pentecost morning.
We talked about that a
lot. Yeah, we talked about how Peter wanted a government job and the new, the new kingdom that was coming. And, but anyway, he likes me, don't worry.
Going to be waiting for you.
At the gate.
Oh, Phil, hey, come here. Come here. Hold him before you go in.
He's too busy to listen to our radio show anyway.
I don't think so.
Anyway, we shouldn't be laughing about all these condemnations. But anyway, if you have a Bible, turn to Matthew 23. I'm sure your Bible has a book of Matthew. And
mine does.
Pretty sure this is chapter 23. But anyway, we're going to have Stephen read. And I think it's an amazing, amazing chapter. And it isn't real, real long. But why don't you read like verses 1 through 12? And we'll do the beginning of it. And then we'll go into the woes and brood of vipers and stuff. That's my favorite part.
Okay, chapter 23. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them. All their works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation rabbi. As for you, do not be called rabbi. You have but one teacher, and you are all brothers. Call no one on earth your father. You have but one father in heaven. Do not be called master, for have but one master. You have but one master, the Messiah. The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted."
Yeah, let's stop there for a minute. That's pretty powerful right there. Now, to set the stage for this, Jesus has come into the city. He's gone to the temple, and he's teaching in the temple. He's talking to Pharisees and scribes. Now, this is way different than when he's in Galilee talking to a bunch of ragtag, smelly people that are sitting around, or a bunch of fishermen that are, you know, just got done fishing all night and they're cleaning their fish and cleaning their nets, or sitting around in his carpenter shop, you know, talking about some, you know, local thing that's going on. He's talking to like the upper level religious leaders.
Yes.
This is the ultimate leadership group. There's a group of Pharisees, there's a group of scribes. Some of them are in the Sanhedrin, which is the 70 people that are in charge. They're the ultimate authorities of everything, including legal disputes. So when, you know, when somebody's car was rear-ended by somebody at an intersection, and
cars back then?
Yeah. And then, you know, they couldn't settle the thing, they would go to the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin would say, "Moses taught that if you hit somebody from behind, you're always wrong." Oh, no, that's always all right. Anyway, so they were, they also settled legal disputes, but they were the religious leaders. So he tells the people that are listening, they have authority because they sit in the chair of Moses. You know, Moses was the mediator of the old covenant, the lawgiver. Nobody up to this point was as important as Moses, and they sit in his chair of authority. But he points out what their true situation is. They sit on the chair of authority and they look real nice, but they're not real nice on the inside, as we're going to see. You can't judge by their earthly appearance.
You remember in scripture, Jesus says, you know, the cup is clean on the outside. But on the inside, it's filthy.
That's right. And they all looked these real things, good.
Yeah. He uses all these parables to describe the condition of the people at that time.
Yes.
And again, he's giving, he's giving them a message and they're not listening.
Right.
They're not receiving it.
That's right. And this is the key. They're not receiving the message. You know, and he says they're sitting on the seat of Moses, but pretty soon the seat of Moses was going to be gone and there was going to be a new seat. Set up that he was going to sit on. There's the throne of David. He's going to rule the universe from the throne. It does rule the universe now from the throne of David. This was about to be set up. So these guys looked real good. And like I always say, they wore all the cool stuff. I mean, they had really nice clothes and they were very well educated. They were very well spoken. So when they walked around, and keeping in mind that most of the other people they encountered were not educated.
Right.
Maybe couldn't even read and write. So these guys would go into a place and go, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Pharisee and I'm here. And everybody would go, wow, these guys are really smart and they're really holy because look how cool they look.
Yeah.
And to emphasize how holy they were, they made their phylacteries bigger and bigger. And they made the fringes of their robes longer and bigger and more exciting looking because they wanted people to see just how holy they were. Now, for those of you that don't know about phylacteries, and in Hebrew, the word's tefillin, we use the phylactery, which is the Greek word, but it goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 4 and on, where the people are commanded to put this scripture as a frontlet between their eyes and on their hands.
Right.
So the phylactery was supposed to be this little box that went on your forehead that had Deuteronomy 6:4 in it, which is the Shema.
Mm-hmm.
And you wore it also on your wrists, and you put it on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, and you can read that for your homework. Well, what these guys did was, instead of having just this cute little thing on their head, they decided they would have like these really big things on their heads because they were so holy that they thought, well, I have to look way cooler than these other guys, so I'm going to put the scripture in this really big thing. So when people saw them coming with these beautiful robes that had the really long tassels, and they said, wow, here comes this guy with this really big thing on his head, and I just got this little dopey thing on my head. So this guy must really be holy.
Yeah.
This guy must really be way more important than I am. And this is what they liked.
Mm-hmm.
They liked people saying, rabbi, you know, teacher, you know, you're so awesome. I'm stupid. You guys are really smart. I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted to sit in the front seat, not only at the synagogue, but when they went to the movies, when they went to the restaurants, they wanted the best table, which they got.
Mm-hmm.
They went to a play. They sat in the front row.
Yeah.
No matter where they went, because they had this big thing on their head. And he said, wow, that's really cool. Because their earthly appearance,
right,
you know, kind of portrayed that.
Mm-hmm.
Their inside was different, as we're going to see.
Yeah.
And so Jesus condemns not the institution. He doesn't condemn Moses' seat. He says, well, they're sitting on Moses' seat. That's important.
Right.
But he condemns them for the way they're doing it.
Yeah. And you see that even in our culture today.
Yeah.
People look to, you know, there's nothing wrong with being well-dressed. There's nothing wrong with being educated.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the condition of the heart that God looks at.
Yes.
And that's what's important.
Yes.
That's the ultimate.
That's right.
Thing that's important. And, you know, I'm thinking about the man who was born blind and Jesus opened his eyes. And
yeah.
He goes to the Pharisees and he's given them the account of what happened and they really don't believe him. And so they ask him to tell him again. And he says, why? Do you want to become one of his disciples too?
That's right.
And then they throw him out.
Yeah.
So there was a, you know, here's this man born blind. There's a, you know, God performs a miracle and they don't want it.
That's right. And they boasted by wearing all this stuff and the way they talked, the way they presented themselves. They were boasting about their holiness and their works.
Yeah.
I mean, the people didn't always see what they did, but they looked good, they looked holy, and they talked about their works.
Yeah.
And so this was their thing. So they were, you know, the set apart ones.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, you put burdens on people because they added, along with having the law, they added all these other requirements through tradition and so forth. They said, oh, well, yes, you have to do that, but you also have to do all these other things. And so they put burdens on people.
Yeah.
And remember, Jesus says, you know, he's going to break the yokes. He's going to take the yoke on him. You know, through the cross, that yoke is broken.
Yeah.
And Paul says, don't put the yoke of slavery to the law back on yourself.
Yeah. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden light.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is why he's condemning these guys.
Yeah.
Because they love to show their authority. And so everybody carried all their stuff. I mean, if you saw a Pharisee, you know, carrying a suitcase, everybody would run over and want to carry it for him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if the guy was trying to get on his camel, you know, everybody would go over and help him. And they did things in secret that people didn't know about.
Hmm.
You know, we didn't read about Ezekiel last time, but because we were kind of rushed, and I'm sure we'll be rushed again. But God tells him, and Ezekiel's in Babylon, God tells him to look, and he shows him a vision of these guys. and what they're actually doing.
Yeah.
They're worshiping idols, and they have bad behavior, and they're taking stuff from people, but they're doing all that stuff in secret. Because mm-hmm. outside in the public, they're wearing all the cool stuff, and everybody's calling them rabbi.
Yeah.
So, you know, this was a thing about they have authority, but don't do what they do, but you have to listen to them because mm-hmm. they're authorities. Oh, this is good. Wow, it's our first break already. Anyway, giftofgraceministries.org. You can look up our website, and there's some teachings and some other stuff there, and you can also find us on Facebook. We'll be right back.
Hear the sound, Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Awesome song.
Yeah, oof. That's an awesome song. I love that song.
Before we read about the woes, I love this part. Not that I like woes, but it's just so masterfully done to a bunch of guys that think they're so holy that nobody can even talk to them. It's interesting that although they paraded themselves around and had all this respect and all this admiration, and they kind of boasted about their holiness and boasted about their appearance, the apostles, you know, they're kind of like a ragtag, smelly bunch. The apostles and, you know, Christian, and, you know, Christian leaders and teachers that would come after them, mm-hmm. you know, they would deny themselves, live in poverty just to spread the gospel to others.
Yes.
Just to tell other people the word, because what they understood that the Pharisees didn't understand, was that it wasn't about them. It wasn't about their appearance. It wasn't about the respect that they got. They were there to preach the word, and they didn't care what they wore. They didn't care about the titles, and they didn't care about the other stuff. Yeah. They were humble and just preached.
They knew that they were purchased at the blood of the Lamb, at the price of the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
And they were at the service of the gospel. Mm-hmm. They realized that the debt that was paid for them, they themselves could not pay.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's just the stark difference of what they were at.
You know, and as Jesus says there in verse 12, you know, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Mm-hmm. So these guys who had the big thing on their heads and the really nice robes, they had already exalted themselves.
Yeah.
And these ragtag smelly guys, you know, they were pretty humble, but they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Let's do the woes. Woo. I think there's eight of them. But anyway.
Are we going to talk about John the Baptist saying, you brood of vipers?
Well, we'll talk about that maybe. Okay. Let's do John the Baptist, man. That was a weird looking guy. Oh, we already did that show.
Okay.
Why don't you read from verse 13 on? Just read to the end of the... read it down to... there's a lot of woes. Why don't you read it down to 32. Read through 32, then we'll do some brood of viper stuff.
Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You lock the kingdom of heaven before human beings. You do not enter yourselves, nor do you allow entrance to those trying to enter. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You traverse sea and land to make one convert, and when that happens, you make him a child of Gehenna twice as much as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say if one swears by the temple, it means nothing, but if one swears by the gold of the temple, one is obligated. Blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that made the gold sacred? And you say, if one swears by the altar, it means nothing. If one swears by the gift on the altar, one is obligated. You blind ones, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? One who swears by the altar swears by it and all that is upon it. One who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. One who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who is seated on it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You pay tithes of mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier things of the law, judgment and mercy and fidelity. These you should have done, without neglecting the others. Blind guides who strain out the gnat and swallow the camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of plunder and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, cleanse first the inside of the cup, so that the outside also may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and every kind of filth. Even so, on the outside you appear righteous, but inside you are filled with hypocrisy and evil doing. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the memorials of the righteous, and you say, if we had lived in the days of our ancestors, we would not have joined them in shedding the prophets' blood. Thus you bear witness against yourselves that you are the children of those who murdered the prophets. Now fill up with your ancestors measured out. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how can you flee from the judgment of Gehenna? Oof. Wow.
Now, these are the leaders. These are the important people that he's talking to. Mm-hmm. He's not talking to the ragtag, poor, smelly people. He's talking to the rulers. He's talking to the educated ones. He's talking to the religious leaders. Mm-hmm. You know, when the people came back from the exile in Babylon, there were no more kings.
Right.
So the Pharisees were religious leaders, but they were also civil leaders. They all kind of ran things. There wasn't like a government. Now, of course, at this time, the Romans were there, but he's talking to the ultimate leaders, and he's telling them, I mean, this is a whole series of condemnations coming from Messiah himself, a whole series. He says, you know, they close the kingdom to those who want to go in.
Yeah.
Not only do they not go in, I mean, he's telling them, you're not going into the kingdom, but you're also closing it to other people.
Yeah.
That could go in if it wasn't for you. Mm-hmm. You guys are the leaders. Remember in James, it says, you know, if you're a leader, if you're a teacher, you're judged at a higher level than if you're not. Because what you do influences people, affects people. So you don't go in, but you prevent others from going in. This is amazing. I mean, they were thinking about their authority, their ceremonies. You know, they should have known that the Messiah was coming. They knew the scripture. They should have known the prophecies that were coming up to this time. Mm-hmm. Even way back in Genesis 49, it says that when the scepter departs from Judah, then the Messiah would come. Mm-hmm. That's Genesis 49:10. So the when the scepter departs from Judah, Shiloh will come. Shiloh was a messianic term that was used from just one time, actually. But the scepter had departed from Judah. There was no king.
Right.
So they should have known the time of the Messiah was close.
Yeah.
So here he was. So you guys don't know the scriptures. You're putting all these burdens on people. You're interested in your own appearance, your own holiness, your own pride, and you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're doing all the ceremonies, but you're not ministering. You're not bringing people into the kingdom. You're going through the motions of doing the ceremonies.
Yeah.
You don't have repentance. You don't have humility.
They're more worried about the ritual actions and all the other stuff instead of bringing people to the kingdom.
That's right.
Yeah.
There was no repentance. You know, that getting into the kingdom was not this. You don't get into the kingdom by walking around saying, excuse me, guys, here I am. I'm the rabbi / Pharisee. Mm-hmm. How do you like my new phylactery? I like my new robe. I'm going to sit in the front row, by the way. You're in my seat. See, this is my seat. And you better do what I say. And I'm going to tell you, you have to do the following things or else you're going to be in trouble. This is not how you enter the kingdom.
Right.
You know, to come into the kingdom, you have to be broken.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be humbled. And they were not doing that. They were keeping other people away from what really was the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And when they heard Jesus talking about these things, and of course calling them, you know, hypocrites and brood of vipers and stuff, you know. You never get anywhere with Pharisees when you call them broods of vipers.
Yeah.
They don't like that. Because they like to be called nice things. But, you know, even when they heard him teaching, they criticized him. They attacked what he was saying. They criticized and attacked his disciples. They obstructed people from coming to him. You know, Palm Sunday, which had already happened, you know, tell your people to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't. They can't be praising you.
Yeah.
They're keeping people away from the Messiah. So this is even worse than what they're doing. They mocked the miracles that he did. I mean, there was just complete malice and opposition toward him. And this is what they were about. Now, remember, at this time, they were already planning to kill him. I mean, this isn't the first time they've seen him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, when they're already planning to kill him, and now he's telling them all this stuff and calling them hypocrites and, you know, all these other horrible things. Later, he's going to call them a brood of vipers, you know, but calling them hypocrites and calling them filthy, that doesn't win because they don't think that they're hypocrites and they don't think that they're filthy.
And he's telling them that you're the children of those who murdered the prophets.
Yes.
You're bringing this condemnation upon yourself.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're their children. And so they're at this point, they're already trying to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes it even worse is they're cloaking all this with religion. We're the religious guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll say a prayer for you. We'll even say like really long prayers if you want, depending on, you know, what the donation is or what you're going to do in return. But, you know, we can say really long prayers. And they, yeah, you know, they were, they took advantage of widows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they took stuff from widows, which is, you know, forbidden in Torah. Mm-hmm. Exodus 22, you know, if you oppress a widow, you know, you're like a total sinner.
Yeah.
I mean, God takes care of widows and orphans in the yes, Torah. And so they'll do, you know, if some poor widow goes and says, you know, can you say a prayer for me? They go, sure, what do you got? You know, we could say really long prayers depending on how much you have.
Mm-hmm.
But if you only have a little bit of money, we'll say like a really short one. Because this, yeah, is, you know, they could say really long prayers. And of course, if you say really long prayers, it makes you look much more holy.
Yes.
So when you're wearing all the cool stuff and saying a really long prayer, people walking by go, wow, I can never be as holy as that guy.
They must have a direct line to God.
Exactly.
You know, it sounds a lot familiar, like what happened in the church in the 1500s.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the selling of indulgences.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, the leaders getting carried around in big chairs and
mm-hmm,
wearing all kinds of cool stuff. Sounds a lot like this.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Saying like really long prayers. But mm-hmm, anyway, we won't get into that. But, you know, they deserve a greater condemnation than the people that are actually the sinners that are just kind of trying to figure out what they should be doing.
Exactly.
Because these guys know what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, he tells them, you know, you go across land and sea to make a convert. And then you make him twice as much a child as hell as you are. So, you know, they kind of found somebody who wanted to come into Judaism, like some of these people that were, they were called proselytes, or they were called mm-hmm, righteous Gentiles or God-fearers, and we talked about some of them.
Right.
Fortunately, Cornelius kept himself away from these guys.
Yeah, really.
But, you know, they were in charge of these guys, and they kind of taught them the, you know, the catechism, so to speak.
Yeah.
Taught them all the stuff they're supposed to do, so hey, they were in charge of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus says, well, the way you teach them, you make them twice a child of hell as you are. And this was after he had said, well, you know, I know who your father is.
Yeah.
You say your father's God, but your father's the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Pharisees really warmed up to him.
But you see the pride, the self-righteousness.
Yeah.
You know, there's one thing to being called by God and proclaiming what God's, you know, doing the work that God's asking you to do,
mm-hmm,
but it has to be done as a humble servant,
right?
And it goes for anybody that wants to exalt themselves in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to try and exalt yourself or put yourself into a place of power,
mm-hmm,
or ministry or position, and it hasn't been given to you,
mm-hmm,
you know, Jesus is very clear about that.
Yes.
If you're coming in any way other than the gate,
mm-hmm,
and you're trying to climb over the wall, you're a thief and a robber.
Yep.
If it hasn't been given to you, it's not yours.
Yes.
You know, and certainly they were given this position of authority, but I think it shows to our, you know, a lot to human nature that given our human nature, if we do not stay just rooted and grounded,
mm-hmm,
in the Word and remain humble,
mm-hmm,
any one of us can exalt ourselves and become very proud,
oh,
and very,
yeah,
you know, lofty,
oh, yeah,
in our own stature.
And it's not even in just in ministry, church kind of things. It can be at your job.
Mm-hmm.
It can be in some organization you belong to.
Yeah.
Because once people start to say, wow, this is really good. You're really a good leader at this. And
mm-hmm,
it's very easy for that to go to your head.
Yeah.
And it's very easy when you walk down the street and everybody says, oh, here he comes.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy for the pride to go to your head. So the next time you walk down the street, you say, here I am. Yes. Here I am. Yeah. And it's not, you know, like I was saying before, the apostles and the later Christian leaders and teachers, as the church was spreading through the world.
Yeah.
They taught in humility. Paul says, you know what? You can stone me. You can whip me. You know, I've been shipwrecked. You can, yeah, put me in the jail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can, I'm just going to be here preaching.
He was left for dead a couple of times, gets, yeah, up and goes back, yeah, into the city.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, a whole different attitude, but you're right. The humility of it is the important thing.
Mm-hmm.
These guys had their pride so big that it even affected how they looked, how, what they wore, and how they talked to people.
Yeah.
Ooh, here comes good. This is a great song. This is Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back. Baruch haba, Hashem Adonai, who comes in the name of the Lord. Now arise, O Lord, come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. Then we will rejoice as we're clothed with your righteousness and celebrate aloud. Baruch haba, Hashem.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Before we finish up with the woes, or at least go on with the woes, I don't know if we're going to get finished or not, I want to talk about a ministry that many of you may be familiar with called Love, Inc., which is Love in the Name of Christ. It's an awesome ministry that partners with local churches, with volunteers, with community organizations, and different agencies to really help people that are in need. And it's funded by individual churches. So if you're a pastor listening, you might want to get involved with this ministry. I know the people that are involved, and they're just awesome servants of the Lord. And also individual Christians that come together, and it's across denominational lines, which is really great. And they provide help to those that are facing any kind of a dilemma with immediate needs. They'll give food and clothing, even some financial assistance when it comes to utilities and mortgages and that sort of thing. And it's a really awesome organization. If you're interested, you can get in touch with them at 216-459-0405. Or you can go on their website, which is loveinccuyahoga.org. That's loveinccuyahoga.org. And you can find out more information about them. On Saturday, September 29th at 6 p.m., they're having a dinner. The guest speaker is going to be Bill Martin from Fox 8 News. And that's going to be at Old Oak Bible Church at 7575 Old Oak Boulevard in Middleburg Heights. It's right near Southwest General Hospital. And you can RSVP at that website or call 216-459-0309. That's 216-459-0309. Wow. Great organization. Please support them. Anyway, back to the woes. We're going to do this. We're going to try to get to the end of the woes. So then he calls them blind guides, you know, because of they're trying to guide people, you know, through the religion ritual things that they're supposed to be doing, mm-hmm. but they don't even understand what they're doing. So they're right. judged at a higher standard than their students are. Mm-hmm. You know, they have everything backwards. They're more interested in the gold on the altar than the altar.
Yeah.
They're more interested in, you know, the stuff that's in the temple rather than the temple.
Right.
They're more interested in, you know, the gifts on the altar than the altar. And we know, you know, he's as Jesus is talking about this, we know in Hebrews 13:10, it says Jesus is our altar. In John 2:21, Jesus himself refers to himself as the temple. Mm-hmm. And he says, one greater than the temple's here.
Yeah.
These guys don't even have a clue because they're worried about gifts. They're worried about gold. You know, they have everything backwards.
Yeah. When he talks to them about, you know, there's this, you demand a sign.
Yeah.
But there's something great. There's someone greater than Jonah here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in 1 Peter 2:5, it says he, meaning Jesus, makes all our gifts and sacrifices acceptable. So if we think what we're doing is the thing, like that's the big thing, you know, we have this backwards. Mm-hmm. They had this backwards. They were worried about the gifts. They were worried about the gold. And they weren't worried about the altar and the temple.
Right.
And, you know, he criticizes them on this because they have their priorities backwards. Mm-hmm. And then they're real excited about really small matters of the law.
Yeah.
Like, you know, somebody gives them a little jar of mint. They make sure they take a tenth of it out, you know, and put it in the temple, and they keep the 9/10. You know, they tithe everything. They're worried mm-hmm. about all, even the little spices they're tithing, but they're missing like the big picture.
Yeah.
Which is grace and mercy and love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's really kind of hitting them over the head with this.
Yeah.
Because this is, you know, legalism run amok.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody gives them 10 of anything, they say, well, I got to give one of those as a tithe. And they did all these minor things perfectly. And Jesus even refers to that in Luke 18:12, where he's talking about the Pharisee and the publican or the common guy who's praying in the temple. And the Pharisee says, well, thank you, Lord, for not making me like that poor guy over there.
Right.
What a loser he is. I do all the stuff I'm supposed to do, and I tithe a tenth of everything that I have. Mm-hmm. So you should be really happy with me. But yeah. I'm missing the important part of the law.
Yeah. The repentance of heart.
The repentance of heart and the mm-hmm. grace and the mercy.
Yeah. Yeah, the humility.
Yeah. And so, you know, to make it a real zinger, he says, you know, they'll strain out a gnat and they'll swallow a camel. This is awesome. It's kind of like the speck in your brother's eye.
Yeah, and you have this big log.
But you got this big thing sticking out of your eye.
For your eye, yeah.
You got the big phylactery on this big log sticking out of your eye, and you got a little speck in your brother's eye, and you say, ooh, look at that guy. He's got that speck.
Yeah.
And, you know, he uses such a beautiful description of these things. Now, keep in mind, while he's saying this, they're already plotting to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're already talking to Judas at this point.
Yeah.
This is only a few days before the crucifixion this is happening.
Right.
So, and they're at the temple talking about this. So they've already talked to Judas.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you look at the Good Friday morning, they're talking to Pilate, but they can't step into the praetorium because they'll be unclean.
Right.
Because it's a Gentile place. So they're like yelling to Pilate across the thing because they can't go in there.
Yeah.
Because they're worried if they do that, they're going to violate the law. Now, of course, they're plotting to kill somebody.
But they don't want to violate
the law. But they don't want to step on the Gentile thing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is legalism run amok in a very bad way.
It's common when anybody justifies whatever they're doing is right.
Yes, exactly.
They lead themselves astray.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so Jesus' point is, even though they look really good on the outside, they got all this stuff going on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're criticizing the apostles for picking grain on the Sabbath.
Right.
You know, how come your disciples don't wash their hands before they eat?
How come he healed that guy in the Sabbath?
How come he healed that guy? Yeah. I mean, this is hypocrisy and legalism.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were worried about all these laws about washing the pots and the dishes and washing your hands. And they, I mean, they were really into that.
Yeah.
But they weren't really into the love your brother, love and mercy, grace and forgiveness kind of thing.
It's almost like they forgot that they were to be a light to the nations.
Exactly. That's an excellent point.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's one of the things, you know, and you mention that all the time, and it's really good to keep reviewing it. That that's one of the purposes of the chosen people, to be a light to the nations, a light to the Gentiles. And, you know, they avoided like scandalous things, but they did all these other things.
Right.
You know, and that's true. And we have to remember, you know, these guys were human beings, and people who are Christian leaders today can do that too.
Yeah.
They can look really good, and we've seen that happen.
And they have.
They look really good on the outside, but they've got secret sins that nobody knows about. But when they see the guy coming, they go, "Wow, they're so and so."
Yeah.
And you know, it's kind of a similar one. And you know, back in John chapter 9:39, you know, Jesus is talking about blind people, you know, and they don't see the truth, and the Pharisees go, "Oh, are we blind too?" Now he's telling them, "You're blind guides."
Yeah.
There's no doubt anymore. You guys are blind guides and you're a bunch of hypocrites.
Yeah.
So instead of washing your hands, you should be washing your hearts.
Mm-hmm.
You should be washing your souls out.
Yeah.
Instead of wearing the big thing on your head and all the cool robes, you should be doing what you're supposed to be doing according to the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you should be washing your heart so that you can be saved.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that. You know, so you clean the inside first. And then the outside will be good too. But no, they got great outsides, but the insides are bad.
They're worried about the appearance.
Yeah. And it's you know, Jesus had mentioned in, well, we'll mention him next week, what he mentioned.
Yeah.
You can read Mark chapter 7, 21 to 23 for homework. Yeah, you have to tune back in to hear what Jesus said.
Good teaser. There you go.
Wow. End of another week.
Yes.
I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that you have an awesome week, everyone. And we will see you back here next week on The Gift of Grace. God bless, everyone. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.